Good morning.
This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
Greg McClure, you're stuck with me today.
Well, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. We haven't had this much talk, together just between you and me since, those county commission days.
You know, I'm used to being on the other side of that glass.
Uh-huh.
People haven't been in the studio. They don't understand how this is set up, but I'm usually on the other side of the glass, and I look through the window at Dave, and Dave's just not paying any attention.
I'm paying attention. I just also multitask.
And when I would talk to Kathy, Dave would walk out, and Kathy and I would be done talking, and
Dave would be gone.
And we would say, we'd be looking at each other like, well, I guess we'll talk some more because Dave isn't here to take over.
So we can't play that game today.
No, we can't.
Yeah, Brady Bowman under the weather still today, battling a little bit of the flu. Touch of the flu, and hopefully he'll be back on Monday. But delighted to be here with you and on the south side of the glass.
I've never been able to see through that glass before.
You know, those guys are ugly, so you really don't need to look through there, on the K-Rock side. But did I say that out loud?
You did, but they can't hear.
They're still in there, yeah. So they're none the wiser. Well, there's an awful lot that's going on this time of year. A lot of people don't realize, that the world of agriculture does not stop. But one of the things that we talked about this morning, and it's incumbent upon everything, is, weather situations. We've had some really, really harsh cold conditions, and we're still dry as a bone.
Yeah, you led into the first topic I wanted to talk about pretty well with the weather report and how cold it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Thought we might talk a little bit about lower critical temperature for beef cattle and what they can handle.
Okay.
Because there's people that think that they're really suffering. And honestly, with a heavy winter coat, 18 degrees is comfortable still for them. Below that, they're getting cold. Now,
How do you determine that 18 is the bottom temperature for their company?
Hey, I'm not the smart guy.
Oh, okay.
I study the work that the real smart folks did.
How do you take a cow's temperature?
How do they take a cow's temperature? Well, you take a cow's temperature just like you take a baby's temperature.
That's a big thermometer there you got.
Now, we're talking about the weather, though.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're talking about 18 degrees.
And maybe I'm thinking about the probe when the beef is on the grill.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about the temperature that the cattle feel. Mm-hmm. And so if we've got a heavier winter coat on them, which we should have now, they should still be comfortable at 18 degrees. And so the folks that are worried about the cattle out there, get below that. They're feeling it, and they're burning more energy. It's taking more calories to keep them going when it gets down to zero. And so the point for the producer side of this is, for every degree below that lower critical temperature, it takes about another 1% more energy. And so we need to either give them more feed or give them better feed.
Hmm. And in better feed, you're talking...
probably grain.
Okay. A little bit more protein-based?
More energy-based,
okay.
And a protein. So, it's an interesting mix. If you give them more protein, then they can consume more roughage on their own. So, and then in cold weather, they can also consume more, which, you think that doesn't make sense. But if you really think about it, think what you and I do in cold weather.
I like to eat.
We eat more. And we don't really need it because we come inside. But for some reason, when it's cold, we tend to eat more.
But we're not acclimated to 18-degree temperatures, in our comfort level.
Actually, if I get quite that cold, I may not be hungry.
Yeah. Eating anything at that point may be a furthest thing from your mind. But also, what about, water for the cattle? You got ponds and frozen over.
Right, and that's crucial. And so, we've got to find a way to keep that water open. If they're drinking from a pond and... some cattle still are, you be sure and you chop that hole, and you learn pretty quick that hole better be pretty close to the edge. I made that mistake once, and my dad was very kind to me.
And he pulled you out.
No, it wasn't me that was in, it was a cow.
Oh,
but
okay.
He was very kind to me and just explained to me that hole needs to be a little closer to the edge so we don't lose any more cows. I was pretty young at the time.
Did you lose the cow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. It seems pretty obvious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But, you do some dumb things when you're young.
And, you see pictures, of calves that are being brought into the house. And you know,
those are fun times.
Quarters. I did that a few times out on the farm.
And think about the calves. And so as we talk about lower critical temperature, so it depends on the hair coat and depends on whether they're wet or dry. So the times that I had calves in the pickup and I had them in the house was April snowstorms.
Mm.
So an April snowstorm, it's wet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a brand new calf, comes out wet, gets wet snow on him, stays wet. His lower critical temperature then becomes just 59 degrees.
Oh, really?
So we're not talking 32. We're not talking 18 like a cow can handle.
Hmm.
It's 59 degrees. And so anything below that, and of course, you know, those snowstorms are probably, what, 34 or something like that in those April storms where it comes down.
And just right there on the edge
and
of
so,
the freezing
and water. So it's just drastic, really
but
hard.
But even,
on.
You know, you get cold temperatures and it's not snowing, even with a lot of rain. That could be problematic.
Well, and you were predicting possibly rain this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we get rain that actually wets cattle down, then we're in trouble again because that makes their lower critical temperature 59 degrees. There's no way we can make up enough energy to fix that. So we hope they seek some protection. We also need protection from wind because we're talking wind chill temperature.
Yes.
And so, you know, you add 10 mile per hour wind and you lower that temperature they feel by, I don't know, 15, 16 degrees, something like that.
Yeah, you can get down single digits or even negative numbers this weekend.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Of course, it wasn't like it was, you know, last week when it was just like, oh my goodness, that's cold.
It was cold.
That was really, really cold.
But as long as the wind isn't blowing, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning,
5 degrees. Yeah. I walked a mile from Firestone to my office after I left a vehicle over there. It didn't feel bad at all.
Hmm. I walked from the parking lot into the station, thought I was going to die. Not really. Well. Not really. But you know, it's interesting, you know, and how did this apply to some other livestock, you know, with and let's talk maybe about hogs.
Well, you know, I haven't looked at all the numbers on those, but I was in the pig business for years, and on a baby pig, the temperature is, I mean, they need really warm temperatures. They need really warm temperatures when they're first born. You know, in a farrowing house, we probably have an 80-degree, yeah, I could get this wrong. The guys in the pig business might tell me I'm out, but, you know, it's 80 degrees or so for a brand-new pig. Now, we do have folks who farrow out in A-frames, farrow out in huts, and they provide lots of bedding. And if you get the pigs into the bedding and they get warmed up, they can produce enough heat, they'll be fine. A week ago, it got cold enough that it was a problem. I talked to a producer that was doing that, and he said, yeah, the pigs were seeking a little too much heat, got a little too close to sow, and she was laying on them. And that's the risk in those situations. Sheep are a different deal. You know, I don't know what their lower critical temperature is. We do raise sheep, but, you know, they've got the wool, and then there's lanolin that in that wool that helps them shed water. And so, you know, I find my sheep out in a wet snowstorm. They're just happy out there. You know, they'll go out and stand in the snow and get covered. Then they'll come in the shed and let it thaw and make a mess in the shed. But, you know, that's a problem for me, not a problem for them.
Right. You know, when I grew up on a farm in Dickinson County,
and
we had an old chicken house that we converted into a farrowing house, and we had, you know, I don't know how many sows that we could put in there, probably a dozen at a time, you know, with farrowing crates and such. And I just remember, you know, the heat lamps and lots of heat lamps. And boy, I tell you what, you know, that wasn't exactly probably the safest place, but there's a lot of old structures out there that farmers continue to use, and there's got to be a lot of safety concerns when it comes this time of year by when you utilize.
Well, there would be. You know, we don't have a lot of producers that are producing pigs anymore, and in those conditions, the ones I know that are using those outdoor facilities, you know, they may or may not use heat lamps. Now, we caved. My son has a pig. I had a pig. One sow.
Okay.
One sow. We're going to farrow her in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
We brought the A-frame back from the farm that I built 40 years ago when I was in high school. And we should have left it there. we got it back, and we started from the bottom at the build up again, and we put a lot of work into it. But it was a good project for us. We're going to put a heat lamp in there and hope we get along. but I've done this before, and so it makes me nervous. You know, she may have 2 pigs, she may have 10. You know, it's either be a good experience or it'll be a bad experience.
I'm trying to remember the biggest litter I think that we had in the time that we had hogs out there was like 15 or 16.
Yeah, you probably did. And yeah. You know, those are fairly common these days.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the pig numbers up in the commercial operations. They're big numbers. They raise a lot of pigs.
I'm really far removed a lot from agriculture because I've been, you know, I can radio since I left the farm because, you know, we had these hog houses that we had to clean out with, you know, basically grain scoops.
Yep.
That kind of spoiled me on wanting to go back to the farm at any time. That's not a pleasant deal.
And so you understand why I argued long and hard when my son wanted to farrow his pig. Like, I had 70 sows at one time without good facilities. And I remember how much work that is.
Oh, my goodness. And it's not pleasant work.
Well, it's not, but yet it is. It's outdoors. You're working with animals.
It's nothing like scooping manure. There's nothing about that concept that is pleasant. I don't care if it's outdoors or indoors.
Well, you've not had a chance to do it with your son.
This is true. And I'm sure that he would run for the hills if he was given that opportunity.
It can be fun.
It can be fun.
It can be tedious, too, though.
No doubt about that.
And that's probably the reason I chose to not continue doing that. It's every day. Every day, twice a day. And, you know, the pig business is a whole lot like the cow business in the sense that, you know, you don't ever go away from it.
Yeah. I know I have a sister who lives outside of Topeka, and they have some chickens. You know, they got 15, 20 chickens or something like that. Cold weather's not good for them either.
But heat's worse for them. So
depending on how much heat?
Well, summertime is a lot harder on chickens than is the cold. So they tell me. This is said from a guy who's never raised a chicken.
Yeah. Well, we had chickens on the farm when I was growing up, but, you know, that wasn't pleasant either. As I said, you know, the chicken coop became a farrowing house. So, tell you what, we're going to take a break here, Greg, and we'll talk about some meetings that you have coming up, among other things. You got a lot coming up.
We do.
Yep. All right. We'll be back in just a couple of moments here on K-Man's In Focus.
KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of residential and commercial customers.